message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Revival. And so I want us just to continue in that same line. I want to thank the good Lord for giving me this honor of bringing forth the word of the Lord today, and Pastor Joshua for giving me this privilege as well. Hallelujah. And may our ears and hearts be receptive to what you have to say to us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Every single one of us, believe it, every single one of us have a commission. It is a call from on high. It is a call from God before the foundations of this earth were ever laid. He didn't call me to be a musician. He didn't call people to be politicians, doctors, whatever. No. There's a call from on high before the foundations of this earth were ever laid. The Word of God says in Jeremiah that He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He knew me, Jeremiah said. That means He knows every single one of us before we were even conceived. He knew us, knew all about us. And He gave us at that same time a commission. A commission. And He expects us to be faithful to that commission. And when we are, when we are faithful to the commission from on high, then we will see the presence and the glory of God in our midst. Every time you read in Scripture, when you see those who are walking in the call of God, we see the presence of God, and we see a move of God, a miraculous move of God. We see great things take place. They called in Peter and John, and they said, "You don't speak in that name of Jesus." I'm paraphrasing. And they said, "Do as you will, but we will not hold back. We will speak forth the name of Jesus." They let them go. And the Word of God says, they spoke boldly, with great boldness, the name of Jesus. Peter, I thought he was born to be a fisherman. No. Yes, he was a fisherman. But then there was another call. There was another commission. That he, when he was touched by God, he could not turn back from that commission. Oh yes, I'm a violinist. Oh yes, I'm a pianist. Oh yes, I'm a mechanic. I'm a lawyer. I'm a whatever. But when touched by Him, there's another call. Believe it. Don't say believe it or not. Believe it. There is a call. God did not speak forth creation and, well, just be a mechanic, just be a violinist, just be a lawyer. God Almighty, you read it in Job, God Almighty created stars, created stars. Scientists say there's over 100 billion of them. He created over 100 billion stars. Over 100 billion that we know of. And he named each one. Each one has a name. And he remembers each name. And do you know what they do? 24 hours a day. They're doing it right now. They're doing it right now. Where it's dark, in some part of the earth. They're singing glory to God. They're carrying out their commission. They're carrying out stars. Insignificant? No, not insignificant. Not at all. They're a creation of God. And he spoke to them. I'm giving you a call. You're just supposed to twinkle, twinkle in the sky. No, I'm giving you a commission. Sing glory to me. A star? Insignificant? To you, maybe. If they're insignificant, and we are now created in his image, should we not walk in the commission that has been set before us? No, it's just not to do this, just not to do that. No, do it. Do it as unto the Lord. But then there's the commission that God has placed upon you. I cannot and I will not refrain from sharing Jesus and listening to every appointment that possibly may come my way to share and tell people of his greatness. He's God. He's worthy of it. He's more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds. He's God. And there's no one like him. There's no God like him. There is a commission that each one of us have. I must follow that commission. I remember when Mona and I first were called into the ministry. I said, now you have to understand, I don't know this Bible. I didn't know it was the Bible too, Old Testament, New Testament. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know who Moses was, who Paul was, Peter. I knew nothing. All I knew was God called me. God called me to bring forth this word, and I know nothing about it. I thought I was to play the violin to give concerts, which I did. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Well, everywhere Mona and I went, I took that with me. And for some reason, when I played it, people started getting saved. People got healed. People made new commitments. Was it me? No. It was just following a call and then God moving and doing the rest, which he's great at. All he's looking for is someone that will do it. Just go and do something. He's not looking for a superstar, because there isn't any superstar. He's the superstar. It's all him. You see, this violin is just a piece of maple wood. That's all it is. It was a tree. That's all it was, a tree. But someone had the ideas, I'm going to cut this tree down, and I'm going to shave this wood in a certain pattern. Then I'm going to put it together and put some strings on it, and maybe, just maybe, a sound will come out of it. If you look at it like that, the violin, it's rather flat. But it was not that way. Before, the Italian masters, the front and the back were very arched. very swollen, beautiful sound, but not powerful. And then the next generation of Italian masters came along, and they said, I'm going to flatten it a little bit. And they flattened the top a little bit. They flattened the back a little bit. Still, to this day, a sound of absolute silk. But when they did that, the sound became enormous. So much so that if you own one of those violins that you can play in a hall with a 75-piece orchestra behind you, with no microphone, and that one violin will supersede the entire orchestra and will be heard all the way back, three balconies high, last row. Wow. They shaved it down. I thought it was a tree. Maybe we want to stay trees and don't want the master to shave us down so that we walk in the call, the commission that he said, oh, it hurts, the tree would say. You're sawing me in half. Oh, you're putting sticky glue on me. Oh, you're putting holes in me. I don't like that. That's not what I was created for. I thought we are supposed to be a new creation. Old things have passed away. Oh, I still play it. I gave three concerts in the past 6 weeks. I still play it. On the program, you will see. If you had the program, you would see. I play Vivaldi, Corelli, and then I play one of my own works that I wrote for chamber orchestra and solo violin, and then I played 9 hymns. And I don't know who was in the audience, but guess what? In the program, I wrote the words to every one of the hymns. And it talked always about Jesus. So Hindus were there because I know they were people that were there. They're students of mine that don't even go to church, that they don't believe, but they saw the program. I'm not going to miss an opportunity to walk in the commission that has been set before me. Hallelujah. That was not even in my notes. What's new? But I'm going to tell you why I would not walk in that commission. Because of fear and unbelief. That's why I wouldn't walk in it. I can't do that because of, and then there's 100, and they're all very good reasons why you don't do it. No money, no connections, no this, no that. How am I going to make it? His name is Jehovah. And Jehovah means in Hebrew, all sufficiency. He's God who is all-sufficient. In other words, he lacks nothing. He needs nothing. He desires, but he doesn't need anything. You don't want to praise me? I'll speak to the rock. He'll praise me. He doesn't need anything. He desires, but he doesn't need. He desires. He desires this vessel to walk in the commission of God, no matter what it costs. Do you know this song, or this chorus?
Mm-hmm.
that song, that chorus? Does anybody know? Raise your hand if you don't know it. Okay. The words are, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the woe behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Does anybody know who wrote that song? I'll tell you who wrote the song. Someone that we do not know. We'll meet one day in glory. A former Hindu in India. A Hindu in India. Someone witnessed to him. Someone followed the commission and witnessed to him about Jesus. And he accepted Jesus along with his wife and his three children. The youngest of the child was 7 years old. I think the oldest might have been 13. The Hindus came to his house one day and said, renounce this Jesus. He said, no, we are not going to. In front of him, they beheaded his wife and his three children. And then they said to him, we're going to let you dwell in this misery. We'll keep you alive so you can always remember this. And he said, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. That chorus, that simple, simple, simple chorus has gone all over this world. In so many languages. It's a commission that every single one of us must follow if we want to see the move of God. We're going to make you suffer. We're going to make you suffer. We're going to keep you alive. I've decided to follow Jesus. Would that be our testimony? It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I'm not saying it's not tough. What would I do? I hope I would do the same. I hope I wouldn't renounce him. I hope and pray I wouldn't. David. I think of all the men in the Bible. I think I admire and learn most from David. Poor, poor David. He had a commission. God spoke to him, you will be king of Israel. There was a call on him. This is the man that killed bears and lions with his hand. This is the man that stood up against a 9-foot giant and said, who do you think you are? A little shepherd boy, a boy at that time. Said, who do you think you are to defy the God of Israel? This day I'll have your head. A little boy facing a 9-foot giant because he believed in his God. But his commission is to watch over the sheep, and that's what his brother said. What are you doing here? Go back. No, 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 no. I can't go back. I have a commission from on high. He's this giant, this uncovenant man is defying our God. I have a commission. He must be brought down. He's obstructing the will and the plan of God. Goliath fell. The enemy fell that day, and Israel rejoiced. But this same man, this exact same man, when he was being chased by King Saul, started running from place to place to place out of fear. Fear and unbelief will do you in as it did David. It did him in. I'll tell you about it. Chapter 20, verse 20, 1 Samuel chapter 27, if you have your Bibles. Unbelief and folly and fear opens the doors, the gates for the enemy to come into your life. Unbelief, folly, wrong decisions. Because of what you see naturally, oh. And that's exactly what David did. He saw, here I am, I'm running from here to here to here to here. I'm still being chased on. I've done nothing wrong. He's trying to kill me. And David, listen to this, chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose and he passed over with 600 men that were with him. And he went to King Achish, the king of Gath. I'll paraphrase it for you. Modern day language. I'm going to die. King Saul's going to get me. I've been running. I have my faithful men with me. But now they've been weary. We're always running. What am I going to do? I'm going to be consumed. In the Hebrew, I'm going to be consumed by Saul. There's no way out. There's no hope. I better go into the camp of the enemy. The camp of King Achish. The enemy of Israel. The enemy of God. I'm going to go to him. What in the world? This is the guy that killed lions and bears. This is the guy that stood up against a nine-foot giant alone. Now he's saying this. You know why he said it? He forgot what God promised him. How can King Saul kill me? God called me and has anointed me to be king of Israel. I'm not the king yet. He can't kill me. But he didn't think that. He looked at everything natural. I can't do this because... And he was right. That's the way it looked naturally. But he forgot. Jehovah means all-sufficient God. My God will provide. My God will deliver. My God will protect. He forgot all that. And he went into the camp of the enemy. And he made buddies with King Achish. He made buddies with the... A man who was diametrically opposed and hated Israel and hated the God of Israel. How could David do that? When just before he stood up against a giant and say, who do you think you are defying the God of Israel? And now he goes into their camp and he buddies with them. How is it possible? Now look at it. Be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things wrong. We've all made wrong decisions. But listen to this. God says this. My My times, the psalmist wrote this, my times, David said this, you realize it? After this is when he wrote this. My times, God, whether it's adversity, prosperity, whatever your time may be, remember this if you don't remember anything else this morning. What King David said when he wrote this psalm, my times are in your hands. Oh, I made a million mistakes. I've done a million sins. I disobeyed God. I this, that, the other, whatever it may be. I now find myself in utter despair. But I remember something. My times. Every time, no matter where I am in life, no matter what I've done, no matter what I'm doing, my times are in your hands, God. Hallelujah. Psalm 145:20. The Lord preserves all those who love him. See, David wrote this after the fact. But it's still true. You want to be preserved? You want to experience revival? You want to experience the move of God in your life? Love him. Love him with all your heart. Oh, I want diamonds. I want silver. I want gold. They're costly. They're beautiful. No, 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 no. I want the presence of God. I want God. Because he's the only one when things get tough. He's the one that will deliver me. Read it in 2 Corinthians, my dear brothers and sisters. The most anointed apostle Paul did this and that and the other in the name of Jesus. And then, read it in 2 Corinthians. And then it came upon him. It's over. He said, I despaired of my own life. I'm going to die. It's over for me. And then he said, I remembered. Then I remembered. My God, Jehovah God, the all-sufficient God. Then I remembered. My God delivered me. My God delivers. My God still delivers. I will be delivered. And he was delivered. He didn't die. He remembered. Don't forget the covenant promises of God. Don't forget ever. Don't forget ever what God has promised you. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Over like that. No, no. I can't. No, no, no. I remember. I could never do this on the monument. I couldn't vibrate. Something like this. I couldn't vibrate. My teacher told me, God gave me the vibrate, I'm going to teach you how to vibrate. So he taught me. That's exactly how I sounded. And I took my bow because I couldn't get my bow, and I kicked him. He said, I'm doing it. My father saw me. I saw the music one day, and we weren't wealthy at all. And he saw the music. Oh, he had a hole here because I kept on kicking the music. I said, it was the music's fault. And he said, he whistled. He had a whistle. I can't do his whistle. But when we heard that whistle, we were in trouble.
Follow. Hi-yo! Hi-yo! That's what he said. Hi-yo! Hi-yo! Come here. What are those holes in the music? Because he knew. He took his big hand and whacked me on the head. He says, what are you doing? It costs me money! I mean, that's what he just whacked me on the head like, ugh. And I was a little kid, too. I never grew up. I was doing until I got out of high school. One day, I made a mistake. I went to my teacher. And so, I said, okay, we were playing, to practice vibrato, we were playing Ave Maria by Bach Uno. Symphony for 30, oh, I don't know how many years, 30, for 35 years, I think it was. No, it was more than that. He was a cripple. He was born in Italy, in a small village in Italy, and he was sort of struck with polio when he was a little boy, and one leg was much shorter than the other. He was a hunchback, and he was paralyzed on his left side. On Easter Sunday, his mother was a Christian, and Easter Sunday, he was in his wheelchair. This is in the 1800s, in his wheelchair, and he wanted water. He told me this story. I'm telling it to you now. He said, water, water. He couldn't. No one heard him because he was so thirsty. He got so desirous for water. He got out of his wheelchair and started walking. His mother saw him and said, Dio, un milagro, grazie Dio! Called the doctor. The doctor didn't know anything back then. But the doctor was smart because the boy couldn't run late. Give him a violin. Maybe it will straighten his hand. So we give him a violin. I don't think he was over 5 feet tall. They immigrated to America. At the age of 21, there were 5 openings in the Great Boston Symphony Orchestra. 35 men auditioned for those 5 positions. He was one of them. At the end, it was a Saturday afternoon. At the end of the afternoon, the judge came out and said, I'm sorry, gentlemen, we cannot fill the 5 positions this season. We can only fill 1. Rafael Del Sordo. My teacher. He had a vibrato that was as fast as a speeding bullet. He developed his hand so much. And he said to me, Paul, if I can do it, a cripple, you can do it. So, when I was a kid in the 7th grade, the principal asked me, and I got washed up when I was a kid because I was so small. I had thick glasses. My hair was sticking out all night. I had so many pockets all over the cow. A skinny one. And so I came. The principal wanted me to play for the school, the student body before he spoke. And I played Ave Maria. So I walked up on the stage. And then because they'll call me names and laughed at me. And then I put my violin up and I went. Small. But what I'm saying, my people, is, oh, I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? The Word of God says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things. But what is my role? To be the number one violinist in Franklin? Or is there a commission?
is there a higher call? David forgot about his commission. He forgot, I've anointed you, David, to be king. And now you're going into the land of the enemy? Oh. Folly, unbelief, and fear will bring you even deeper away from the commission of God. When he left his wife, his two wives, his children, and all of his possessions were in Ziklag. And while he was in the camp of the enemy, guess what happened? The Amalekites came and they burned the entire city down and they took his wives, all of their wives, even the wives of the 600 children. They took all the wives and the children, the possessions, they took it away. Because he wasn't there. He was in the camp of the enemy. He forgot about his commission. But then he did the right thing. He said, this is nuts. Paraphrasing. He said, this is nuts. The 600 faithful men, guess what they were going to do? Read it. We're going to stone you, David, for doing this. We've lost our wives and our children, too. We've lost all our possessions, too. You're a dead man. We're stoning you. But then, David said, I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to encourage myself in my God. And he went to the priest. And he put on a linen ephod. And he said, Lord, what should I do? God said, what to do? David said, I'm doing it. It's going to cost me. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to find them. I only have 400 men now because 200 were too weary. He only had 400 against the whole army of the enemy. But guess what? He followed the commission. He went. The enemy was defeated. And not one of the 600 men, including David, their wives and their children were untouched, and they got all their possessions back, and then some. Lord, three things you need to do, people. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Am I right with God or not? Let him convict you where you are, decisions you made. Then humble yourself. Confess it.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnian was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.